Let's talk about literature in schools. Because right now, a lot of English teachers and other humanities types are afraid that classic works of fiction are about to lose ground big time to nonfiction, replaced in American classrooms by historical documents, newspaper articles, even instructional manuals. That fear is in reaction to the Common Core State Standards, which are the new national curriculum for K-12 education that's been adopted by almost every state in the country. There have been worried articles in the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, USA Today, and This Week in Time magazine. And a lot of the backlash against the Common Core Standards gets directed at David Coleman. He's one of the Core Standards authors, as well as America's new standardized test czar as president of the College Board. David Coleman, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much.
So it seems like most of the anxiety that teachers and other people are feeling and expressing about the Common Core Standards seems to be coming from one recommendation in particular, that by the end of high school, 70% of what students are supposed to read should be nonfiction. Are they misunderstanding what the core standards are?
Yes, there is a misunderstanding. The standards are absolutely clear on the central role that fiction plays and continues to play in the English language arts classroom. So I will quote directly from page 5 of the standards. It says, teachers of senior English classes, for example, are not required to devote 70% of reading to informational texts. Instead, what the standards say is the majority of time in the English language arts class, and the majority of attention remains fiction, high-quality fiction, drama, literature, narrative fiction, and poems. The only thing that changes in English language arts is that there's some portion of time spent on high-quality literary nonfiction of the sort that our founding documents are, as well as the great conversation that happens as a result of that discussion in our country. The facts are so clear, and it's in black and white in the standards several times. I think that as we better communicate, teachers were crucial to developing these standards, and they'll be crucial in telling the story, and we should work with them to get the message out.
It seems to me one of the sources of the miscommunication, to the degree it's that, is that it's in black and white for the first time, there's on a chart, it says 70% reading will be about work that persuades or explains, and 30% will be literature. So is it your view and the hope of the core standards that at the end of 12th grade, a kid will in fact not have read less fiction than she or he would have 10 years ago, but would simply read more?
Would read probably higher quality, I would dare say high quality or more rigorous fiction than it is likely they have read before, because these standards build a staircase of increasingly demanding text over the years, because what our research shows, what the overwhelming finding of research, is that kids are often reading at about 4 grade levels behind what they need to be ready for college and career.
Uh-huh.
And that's true of their literary reading, you know, of what they read in literature. It's true of what they read in literary nonfiction. It's true of their science classroom. So there's a general call in these standards to raise the level of rigor and quality of the text kids are reading. Delivering a generation of kids who can really read at that level is the hope and promise of this work.
Well, part of the conversation, it seems to me, is some default notion that rigor and critical thinking are the opposite of creative thinking. It seems as though part of the discussion and the conversation that's taking place posits that you're the enemy of creativity because you are demanding more rigor.
No, I consider, and I think most would, that the rigorous reading of high-quality stuff is an act of love. It's an act of appreciation. It's an act of caring about the choices an author's made. And that's true when reading the founding documents and the great conversation. It's true when reading a wonderful novel or a Shakespeare play to discuss when Hamlet actually enters the play is a wonderful question. Why did Shakespeare make this choice rather than another? So that's a rigorous conversation, but it's not a cold conversation.
Right. Specifically, what books, what texts have been used in the classroom that going forward you'll be happy to see taken off curriculum?
You know, really, no text. I just want to be kind of clear with you that no texts are really excluded. Texts must be more demanding. So what there's going to be pressure against is watered-down versions of texts.
So again, not being in the education world, what's an example of that, of a watered down version of a text that a 10th or 11th grader will get instead of the real thing?
Oh, imagine if you were told that you're not going to read Shakespeare, but you'll read some summary version of it, or a kind of
really like spark notes,
synopsis
essentially
of the play, exactly. Or you can't read the science textbook, right? It's too demanding for you. These standards insist that all kids have a right to encounter rigorous, rich text worth reading and examining.
It sounds like if you're a ninth grader who has been living in this softer, less demanding world of the last 10 years, this is bad news. You're in for a shock if the standards are going to suddenly.
Interesting you say that, because the fact is, the bad news was true before. You were headed for remediation. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, that's the terrible truth, right?
Right.
The kid thinks they're okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is just a reality check sooner.
It's the reality. And what's wonderful, is it the only way to get better at reading difficult things is to read them and explore them?
I still am, again, given how reasonable you sound and this sounds, why does somebody like Diane Ravitch, who is a knowledgeable authority in this world and has spent her life doing it, blogs and with a headline saying, "Why does David Coleman dislike fiction?" Why is that happening? Because unless you're lying to me, you don't dislike fiction.
To be rather frank, the most important fact for your listeners, Kurt, and the truth is that I've read the actual lines of the standards out loud. So it's important to make this not personal when it's not personal, meaning that it wouldn't really matter. I happen to love fiction, but more importantly, the standards do.
Yeah.
There are interesting debates to be had in this world. How to do it? How can we as a society, right, take a generation of children and successfully engage them in more demanding text in a way that's exciting and powerful for many more children? I think this other dispute is a rather false one, frankly.
Uh-huh. When you were a kid in school, was there a book that sort of made you open your eyes and go, "Whoa, this is not something I've experienced before"?
You know, it was Flowers for Algernon in seventh grade.
I'm sorry, it was what?
Flowers for Algernon, and I
which became the movie Charlie.
Yeah, exactly. And the teacher asked us to analyze the dreams. And there was no place to look for the answer to that question except to keep looking and figure out what clues were there, to kind of read like a detective. And I read it over and over. And it was that incredible experience of seeing more and more the more you looked. You know, that moment where a book becomes not just a one-dimensional thing, but a three-dimensional thing.
David Coleman, thank you very much for
talking
to me.
Thank you for this great conversation. Thank you so much.
David Coleman is president of the College Board and one of the authors of the Common Core State Standards, which have been adopted by almost every state and will go into effect in 2014. So, what do you think? Based on your experiences with the public schools in the last 10 or 20 years, has the curriculum gotten dumbed down? Are students getting off too easy with what they're required to read and write? Let us know at studio360.org.